Hi, I'm Bob Marone for Westchester Talk Radio, and once again, we are with our friends at Hightower Westchester. Today, a very special show, energy in your home and your life. We're fortunate to have two guests today instead of one. First, Richard Lahav, Chief Investment Officer and Partner at Hightower Westchester, and our special guest today, Ron Kamen. He's the founder and the CEO of Earthkind Energy Consulting. What a great name for a business. Ron Kamen has decades of experience and leadership in catalyzing exponential change and sustainable energy adoption with governments, nonprofits, and businesses. He's developed successful public-private partnerships in power and sustainability programs, projects, marketing, outreach, and policy. While president of the New York Solar Energy Industries Association, Ron led the campaign that culminated in the $1 billion New York Sun program. He built and managed successful wind power and solar energy marketing, sales, and public education campaigns, and is recognized coalition builder with the renewable energy industry, distribution utility companies, energy service companies, they're called ESCOs, government leaders, and environmental organizations. He's a busy guy, as you can see. Now, Sustainable Westchester has retained Ron and his firm, Earthkind Energy, to create its clean transportation program, which moved Westchester to become number one in electric vehicles, and that's electric vehicles adoption in New York State. Ron was then asked to create a heat smart program that secured over $1 million of New York State funding for clean heating and cooling and gained the support of both U.S. senators, Westchester County Executive George Latimer, the full county legislature, and the Business Council of Westchester, as well as environmental and industry organizations. Ron, welcome to the video cast. Can you talk about yourself even beyond what I just introduced you with and your firm, Earthkind? And it's Ron.
Thanks so much, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here. It's
a busy guy. I retire now. After that read, I'm done.
I strive to keep myself engaged, you know. For over 30 years, I've been doing clean energy work and representing clients in all different sectors, nonprofits, for-profits, municipals, and figuring out how they can use clean energy policies, programs, and do projects that are going to reduce their energy costs and lower their carbon footprints. And it's been a great ride. It's amazing how the technology costs have come down, the advances in policy that have driven incentives and result in projects that really, you know, people are amazed how much money they can save with these clean energy technologies now. So looking forward to discussing the positive financial impacts, the returns on investments, and the cost savings. Sometimes people can get it even with zero cash outlay out of their pocket.
I've got to add a question already before we get in to talking about the home. 30 years, that puts you a little bit ahead of the curve. What inspired you or compelled you 30 years ago to start this business? What were you seeing? What tea leaves were you reading, so to speak?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Bob. I came out of college with both an undergraduate degree in accounting and management, which put me in the financial sector. But then I did a graduate degree in system science. And in the system science program, which included computer systems, but also other systems, biological systems, psychological systems, economic systems, mm-hmm. I realized that there was a lot more to the world than you know, generally met the eye. And I decided that I wanted to have a role and have an impact and that I wanted to do something for the community and for society. And at the time, I got a job actually as an organizer on community issues. And the issue at the time was energy. When we were phasing in the cost of the nuclear power plants, those nuclear power plants were originally going to be creating energy so-called too cheap to meter, but a $300 million plant went to $1 billion, went to $2 billion. At $4.2 billion, we got some consumer caps on it. At $7 billion, it nearly bankrupted every utility in the state. On Long Island, the Long Island Lighting Company did go bankrupt, which is wound up being the Long Island Power Authority had to take over. So I realized that energy and energy and the environment was kind of my motivation and my mission in life. And I became first an energy policy guy, advocating for policies that would help people save money with clean energy, and then doing programs and projects that would actually implement those policies in a very concrete way and have a significant impact. So it's been an interesting ride.
Kudos to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, let's get down to some practical stuff for my tiny brain and the larger brains of our listeners and viewers. Let's start with the home. How can people make their homes more energy efficient?
Well, you know, you always start with taking a look at where are you wasting energy, or how can you improve your efficiency? Because the least cost energy is the energy that we don't use. So the simplest way that you could start with is just looking first at your lighting, because lighting is a significant portion of most people's costs. And if you recall, when we were growing up, there were things such as incandescent light bulbs. And nowadays, you could take that 100-watt incandescent light bulb that we used to have to light our place, 90% of which that type of lighting produces heat, not light. So 90% of that energy is wasted, which is now why with LED lighting, or light emitting diodes, we can save 80-90% of the cost of our lighting just by switching out those bulbs. And not only do we save on energy costs, but those bulbs last so much longer, we also reduce our replacement costs and our maintenance costs. So the first place to take a look at is energy efficiency with lighting, but also with things like, you know, when we have all our electronics plugged in, those are called vampire loads. And even when they're not on, they're sucking out a certain amount of juice, the TV, the radio, the stereos, the other electronics that we have. So it's always good to make sure that you turn those things off, just as we had been taught as kids to turn off the lights when we leave the room. It's the same true now with all our electronics. So the first thing is to look at efficiency. And then on efficiency now, we have new technologies for heating and cooling. Heating and cooling and hot water can be as much as 60-70% of the home's energy usage. So things like putting in air source heat pumps instead of just a regular air conditioner, you put in a heat pump, which is an air conditioner. But in addition to being an air conditioner and reducing your cooling costs during the summer, that works in backwards during the winter. It actually compresses and expands the same type of substances to then put heat into your space. So an air source heat pump is a very efficient way of heating and cooling your building. If you're able to do geothermal ground source heat pumps, that's an even better way, because in the heat beneath our feet, you go down 4 feet below our feet into the frost line in this part of the world, and that constant 50 degree temperature, when you circulate a water down there, fluid, it comes back at 50 degrees, and now you're starting with 50 degrees heat to heat or kill your building, and all of a sudden you're so much more efficient, you have more comfort, you're saving money, you're reducing your carbon footprints. So things like geothermal heating and cooling is an even better opportunity for those that can take advantage of that particular technology. So efficiency first, heating and cooling with air or ground source heat pumps. And then, of course, the electricity now with solar electric. Solar has become so cost effective, the price has come down, that you can put solar on your home many places if you have enough sunlight and you own your home and you have roof space, or you can put it as a carport or even on a ground mount in some locations. That solar electricity is so much cheaper now than utility power that it's another great way of saving money and having a positive environmental impact.
Let's get to some of that. Costs seem to always be at issue when it comes to green energy, to more efficient energy. In fact, as you mentioned, we've all seen our electric bills go sky high. I mean, I need another mortgage on my house bills. But there are incentives and different things out there. Talk to us.
Yeah, great. So you're exactly right. So first, you know, the costs have come down on these technologies. So just like, you know, those smartphones we all have around with us now, that was the power of a supercomputer not too long ago that cost millions of dollars. And the same sort of cost-effective electronic cost reduction has the case for solid-state solar technologies, and also the same sort of internal technologies in all these advanced clean heating and cooling, and also electric vehicle technology. So first, the cost has come down dramatically, both by the market growing and by the advances that we've been making technologically. But then, yeah, you're absolutely right. The policy on the federal level, on the state level, and on the local level has made a tremendous difference. So with solar and with ground source heat pumps, you can get a 30% federal tax credit that reduces your cost right there. In Con Ed territory and elsewhere around the state, there are utility programs that also pay a significant incentive. That's a cash incentive that reduces those prices. And then there's a state tax credit in many parts of in New York State in particular, for many of these technologies. So by the time you're done, when you take a look at all the incentives that are out there on the cost effectiveness, and you compare now your cost of operating a traditional fossil fuel system versus shifting to these technologies, what you find is that you, over the course of the life cycle of your equipment, but definitely over 5 or 10 years, you've made your money back, you're making money, and there's financing mechanisms now, both low-cost financing as well as even traditional financing, that lets you be in the black from day one. So even without cash, with financing, you can now get cost-effective, cost-saving technologies that improve your carbon footprints, leave you more comfortable, healthier, and better in your pocketbook.
I'm going to turn this over to Richard for a minute, because I like electric vehicles, but I'm concerned about not being able to go far enough. I know, Richard, you have some questions about electric vehicles and even with rates coming back up.
I guess just to take a step back, and Ron, thanks again for coming on. This is already a great conversation, but I know we know some folk kind of more on the construction side and contractors and things of that nature. I mean, are they implementing a lot of what you're saying into new builds, existing builds, whether it's, you know, people's homes or commercial buildings, and kind of how's that, call it, translating into kind of the day-to-day, call it, construction industry, if you will?
Yeah, great. So great technology, and thanks so much, Richard. So on new construction, this stuff is really a no-brainer. When you take a look at the cost comparing traditional fossil fuel systems with these clean energy systems, and you're doing new construction, it really is a no-brainer. In many cases, you can actually save money on capital with the incentives that are out there by doing clean energy instead of traditional fossil fuels. So many developers are now waking up to that reality, and when they take a look at their numbers, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I could make so much more money doing it this way. In addition, then, the cost of operating these systems is so dramatically less that you're looking at substantial savings, and the end-use clients are also asking for and many times demanding that. And then you have the policy. So both on a federal, state level in particular, New York State has something called the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, or the climate law in New York State, which is requiring all of us to move out of fossil fuels into clean technologies. And there's many times local mandates for a certain percentage of electric vehicle charging stations to be included in these new projects. And again, many owners are requesting or even sometimes requiring that these technologies be incorporated, both for themselves, for their health, or if you're an owner developer, for your tenants. So yeah, a lot of, most of my work actually these days is with commercial project developers who are looking at new construction for multifamily and mixed-use construction and residential housing, again, putting these technologies in as a way of reducing capital costs as well as lowering the total cost of operation.
And I imagine it's probably, you know, kind of build by build or project by project, but, you know, looking at something like a solar installation or geothermal, I mean, what are you kind of seeing on average as far as like return on investment for you know, some of these build outs and things like that?
Yeah, so if you're doing new construction, I mean, literally the paybacks and return on investments can be just a couple of years. Sometimes even you flip the capital stack upside down when you have all these incentives, and you're actually in the black from day one. But if you choose the right technologies and incorporate the right design into your structures, so for new construction, again, it's really a no-brainer. Where it becomes sometimes a little bit more difficult is when you're dealing with a retrofit basis, and you have existing technologies that's been there. there, and you'll have to change out not just the technology itself, let's say a boiler, but you have to do additional infrastructure work, maybe put in new ventilation systems or things of that nature. And that's where it becomes a little more problematic. But in general, if you don't have a 10% or better return on your investment, you're really missing something in the clean technology world. And I've seen returns of, on the average, of 3 to 5 year payback, so a 20 to 33% or better investment. And I've even seen, again, many new developers find that from day one, they were in the black. They were actually spending less on their capital costs by doing these technologies and using these techniques up front to reduce their capital costs up front. So that was an immediate payback.
Wow. That's fascinating. Yeah. And Bob had mentioned the electric vehicle side of things. I mean, you know, we always joke, it's like, you know, you can't go into a parking lot nowadays without seeing, you know, some Tesla or whatever it may be. But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, people are always wondering, obviously rates have gone up and our lens, we're financial planners and things of that nature. Like, what can I afford? You know, how does all this look? I mean, you mentioned tax credits on some of the other projects. How does that translate into EVs? And obviously you're seeing, you know, some of the major car companies come on board and with their build outs and things. I mean, I imagine this is just going to get more and more commoditized and mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening. So across the world now, we've seen every major auto manufacturer has electric vehicle options for you. And what you find is that up front, there are incentives. And actually, there's a $7,500 federal tax credit for many vehicles, for electric vehicles, that absolutely puts you now in a better capital situation than if you're purchasing a new comparable fossil fuel vehicle. In addition, there's a state tax credit of $2,000 that adds to that savings. And then if you're in it for 3 to 5 years, what you find is that the cost of moving per mile with electricity is a half to two-thirds less than the cost of gasoline. Wow. So what happens is your total cost of ownership from fuel alone goes down, and then there's no transmission fuel, there's no oil changes, there's 20 moving parts instead of 2,000. So there's so much dramatic less maintenance. And New York City has moved a dramatic percentage of their fleet to electric vehicles. And they've done 10 years of study now that have documented that their cost of ownership has gone down dramatically with their electric vehicle fleet. And they have a very aggressive program. They're going to be purchasing, I think, 1,400 new electric vehicles every year for the next 10 years because they're saving so much money by moving to that direction. So it makes absolute sense.
Yeah, the work from home, I you know, just, you know, going from not having come in the office for a year or two, and then all of a sudden you're in a couple of days a week, and now you're fully back. That cost, you notice it again, right? I mean, just driving and filling up with gas on a weekly basis. So,
absolutely. And the thing is this, is that, you know, one thing that in Westchester, one of the programs that I helped set up, recognizes that if you're in a single family residence and you have a garage or a place to park your car where you can plug in, you know, 90% of people's trips are less than 100 miles. Wow. So basically, like, almost every day we're going to the store, we're going to the work, we're going less than 100 miles. These electric vehicles go 200 miles on a charge. So you just plug them in overnight in your garage at home, and now you don't have to go to a gas station even, right? And the cost of fuel is so much less, and you don't have the maintenance cost, and it's so much more convenient that, you know, it really is becoming a no-brainer. So we're seeing an escalating adoption and purchase of these electric vehicles, because, you know, every manufacturer has them.
Excuse my interruption, but sold me an electric vehicle, okay? So here's the question.
Yes, please.
You do have to do a little bit of planning, though. I mean, is there a map? Is there any kind of a document where you could find out where charging stations are if you do want to take a trip? So you can take a trip.
Absolutely. And that is still, you know, that's definitely a concern for people. And there's two things. One, there are maps, and those maps are public, and there's more charging stations going every day. So in New York State, in particular, the New York Power Authority has this EV Evolve program where they're putting in fast charges through all the highways, and across the country the same thing is happening across all the major federal highways. So we're seeing more and more fast charges go up all over. But yeah, you do have to have a little bit of planning if you're going distance. And what I say to people is that, look, you know, if you are planning a long distance trip, first, how many long distance trips do you really take in a particular year? And then if you're really concerned about it and you don't want to have the brain investment of figuring out where you're going to stop, you're going to stop for 20 minutes to have a lunch or use the restroom and charge up your car, then you know what? you're saving so much money with an electric vehicle. Just rent a gas vehicle for your trip, and you'll come back and you'll still be in the black. So if that's really your major concern, think about how many long-distance trips you're really taking and take a look at the economics, and you'll find you're better off.
I'm ready to start shopping. Richard, you take on the next one.
Obviously knowing you and your company, you know, you talk about microgrids and kind of all of this stuff is obviously interconnected. Can you talk to us just a bit about what they are, how it differs from, call it, the traditional power grid we're all used to? And I mean, do they exist? Where do you see them? I mean, you know, are they coming on more and more? And if you can kind of give us some insight into that.
Sure. So we're all familiar with the electric grid. That's how we're all interconnected. All the wires that come to our different buildings to supply our electricity. We actually are in microgrids every day. Every time we get into a car or a train or a plane, that's a microgrid. You got a generating source. It's generally a fossil fuel that's creating not just the means to move you, but also electricity, right? That's the electricity that you have in your car or in the train or on the plane. So those are microgrids unto themselves. Where the concept of microgrid has now become more prevalent is when we're thinking about having our homes or our workplaces or our communities to be a standalone microgrid with its own either generating source or solar with battery storage supplying that electricity. And those are becoming more prevalent. What they do is they allow you to come in and out of the grid. So all of us are pretty familiar when the grid goes down, many of us have generators, and that creates a little microgrid in our homes or in our workplaces that supplies the electricity so that we're now having our own little grid that's supplied by a generator. The concept of a microgrid goes that one step further, uses not always clean energy technologies, but many times a generator that's solar with battery or other types of generation systems to let us basically have our own electric grid without having to rely on the utility. So these microgrids, especially as we get more climate-related disasters and the grid goes down, as we saw with Hurricane Ida, as we saw with Hurricane Sandy and Irene, and all these climate events that are now starting to take out our electric system, pretty regularly, what we're seeing is that this move towards resiliency of having all these own backup power systems, these little microgrids, are becoming much more prevalent. So yeah, microgrids are an interesting concept. Again, they're all around us. We're part of them every day. We just don't recognize it. And now they're becoming much more mainstream and independent, but then integratable into the grid.
You know, I can just imagine all the viewers and listeners leaning in as I am over this presentation by both of you. And I'm going to address both of you now. What are some of the trends in this space? Let's start with you, Ron, and then we'll switch over to Richard.
Sure. Well, first, I think the biggest trend is that the technology costs are coming down so dramatically. I mean, we're looking at the cost of solar and batteries going down about 15% a year, and it's been doing that for a number of years. So one is cost reduction on all these clean energy technologies. Second are government policies and incentives that are helping to drive this exponential adoption of these technologies. So we're seeing more and more solar all around us. We're seeing electric vehicles all around us. We're hearing about geothermal and air source heat pumps that are being put in both new construction and retrofits. So the policies and the incentives are there that are helping to drive adoption. And then last but not least, I think there's a very clear growing concern, I mean, both on our generation as well as especially the younger generation, about the future that we're leaving here for our kids and future generations. And we're seeing that especially young people are really concerned about what's happening and want to see us, their parents and grandparents, adopting the technologies. So I think we're seeing more and more a cultural acceptance that but this needs to happen and an identification that what can I do to help make a difference? So if we're seeing that adoption take place.
What about from your point of view, Richard?
Sure. I mean, just to further Ron's last comment there, I mean, if I were to shift my camera, 45, 90 degrees to my right here, you know, we're across from Saxon Woods and there's so much haze going on. You can't even see Saxon Woods. It's absolutely crazy. But I think this is a trend that from our lens, it's not necessarily like one specific area, right? And Ron kind of attested this as well. It's just this general move to clean energy or energy efficiency in some capacity. And whether it's through their homes or their investments, right, they can access these things a lot of different ways. So as we mentioned, new construction, home improvements. I mean, think about what happened through the pandemic, right? I mean, everyone was making, you know, they couldn't do anything or go anywhere. So where did they spend their money? And it was a lot of potentially these types of improvements into their lives and in their homes. You know, I think from the investment side of things, you know, you have the ESG movement and you're having the UN has, a, you know, 17 sustainability goals. And I think when you see some of these bigger powers really pushing this, you had the whole Inflation Reduction Act, you know, coming through that IRA Act, which has helped push, you know, a lot of things from a policy standpoint. This isn't a fad. You know, I you think about just, for example, you know, I couldn't help but think about, you know, how much energy we're using and crypto mining. I mean, the amount of energy that it takes to mine these currencies is extraordinary. And I think, you know, so everyone thinks of just fossil fuels are the first thing that comes to mind. It's really all over the place. And, you know, with the more and more devices we all have, you know, as Ron mentioned, there's this massive kind of energy suck. So, anyway, I guess I'm just really what I'm trying to say here is that this isn't a fad and there's a lot of legs behind it.
You know, we're nearing our time together. We're nearing the end of it, but I could go on with this show for 2 hours. There are so many questions. I'm even thinking of hooking up my stationary bank into a power source. They had power to my home because of you, Ron. All right, we're nearing the end. Closing thoughts. Let's start with you.
The future of clean energy is now. There is a way for almost everybody to start saving money with these clean energy technologies today. It's not just a pay extra to save the environment. It's actually how you can reduce your family's cost, your business's cost, your nonprofit, your government's cost substantially with technologies that are more resilient, that are better, that are healthier, that are more comfortable, and that actually reduce your costs. So I urge everyone listening to this program to think about and identify ways that you can use these technologies, these energy efficiency technologies, these solar technologies, these clean heating and cooling technologies, these electric vehicle technologies to save yourselves money and help position the world so that wildfires that we see don't become the daily threat to our existence that they're coming to be. So for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren, let's create a legacy we can be proud of and simultaneously create a new economy that will be prosperous and create jobs and have a positive impact and save us money.
And you, Richard?
Yeah, I would say, you know, thank you, Ron. It's, you know, it's very nice to have, you know, obviously one of the leaders in the space and kind of in this area. So really appreciate the insight and the time. You know, I think there's a lot to download here, you know, and as we always kind of say to certain clients, right, it's like some of these things can be overwhelming. You know, sometimes baby steps and starting somewhere is kind of the right way to start. You don't have to drink through a fire hose, so to speak. And, you know, have the right team in place. I mean, this is an ever-changing landscape, right? I mean, we talked about regulatory, we talked about cost, we talked about contractors. You know, I think going about this on your own can be difficult. So I think, you know, having the right team in place, it makes a lot of sense as well. I would just finish, Ron, I scanned your guys' website. You know, I know what you guys do. I know there's a lot going on there from different articles and videocasts and podcasts. I mean, how do people kind of get in touch with you and stay in front of all this?
Yeah, great. So a couple things. One, they can just go to the website, which is earthkindenergy.com, like mankind, but earthkind. Or they can drop me an email, just ron@earthkindenergy.com, or give us a call at 845-266-3723. And we are always willing to give a free 15, 20-minute consultation to just sort of see where you're at. See, everybody's a little bit different, where they're coming from, what their expenses are, what their energy pains are, whether it's their electricity, their heating costs, their transportation costs. So have a quick conversation. We'll help steer you in the right direction. And we'd love to do that for anybody out there.
Gentlemen, this has been so good. You know, Ron, in the broadcasting business, there are times you have to provide people with important information. And when that information is as interesting and beneficial as this is, you both hit it out of the park today. I want to thank Richard Plahab, of course, Chief Investment Officer and Partner at Hightower Westchester, and Ron Kamen. He's the founder and the CEO of Earthkind Energy Consulting. You're going to be hearing more from him. I cannot thank both of you enough. And again, Ron, on behalf of Westchester Talk Radio and Hightower Westchester, bravo, and thank you very, very much.
And thank you, Bob. Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share this important message to your audiences. Really appreciate it.
Great stuff. Thank you again, Richard. I will see you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hightower Westchester is a group of investment professionals registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC, and with Hightower Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is not indicative of current or future performance and is not a guarantee. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data and information referenced herein are from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other information contained in this research is provided as a general market commentary. It does not constitute investment advice. Hightower Westchester and Hightower shall not in any way be liable for claims and make no expressed or implied representations or warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the data and other information, or for statements or errors contained in or omissions from the obtained data and information referenced herein. The data and information are provided as of the date referenced. Such data and information are subject to change without notice. This podcast was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are solely those of Hightower Westchester and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates. Hightower Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. This material was not intended or written to be used or presented to any entity as tax advice or tax information. Tax laws vary based on the client's individual circumstances and can change at any time without notice. Clients are urged to consult their tax or legal advisor before establishing a retirement plan.